Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, Who is a Prophet? Is by Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Today's Gospel comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, Jesus answers two related questions. The first is, how can you tell false prophets from true prophets? And the second is a more personal question. How does God evaluate me? The basic answer to both questions is in the old cliche, actions speak louder than words. In the sense Jesus uses the word here, a prophet is a person who claims to speak for God. I, Archbishop, quite obviously claim to be a prophet. I dare to tell you that I am speaking to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. A priest or a minister or any other sort of religious teacher lays claim to being a prophet when he tells you he has a direct insight into what God wants. In language reminiscent of the story of Little Red Riding Hood, Jesus warns that false prophets present themselves to us dressed up like sheep, when really they are ravenously hungry wolves. He means that false prophets are deceptive. They appear to be sweet and gentle and reasonable. But that is all just a pose. They are, in fact, out to destroy and to thwart God's purposes. Jesus says the best way to tell a false prophet from a true prophet is by their fruits, by what results from what they teach and from how they act. We all use a standard to one degree or another when we decide what religion to profess, and which church to attend. And St. Paul warns the Corinthians against teachers who claim to be Christians but are not, he says. Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light. So it is no surprise if Satan's ministers can present themselves as ministers of righteousness. Appearances can be deceiving. One of the most memorable stories in the Old Testament comes when God tells the prophet Samuel that he needs to find a replacement for King Saul. God had picked Saul to be Israel's first king for a number of reasons, but prominent among them was that Saul was tall and handsome. He was what the Bible calls a choice young man and a godly. After Saul disobeys God, God sends Samuel to the house of a man named Jesse, telling Samuel that the new king would come from among Jesse's several sons. When Samuel meets Jesse's first son, he figures he must be the one, perhaps because he is tall and handsome. God, somewhat intemperately, rebukes Samuel, saying, "Don't look at his face and think about how tall he is. I don't want him. I don't look at things the way you do. Men look at the outward appearance, but I look on the heart." So again, we are presented with the idea that appearances can be deceiving. We don't have quite the same ability that God has to look at another person's heart. But we do have the test of the fruits. Actions speak louder than words. This week was to mark the feast of the Transfiguration of Christ, which raises yet another question about outward appearance and inner reality. The Transfiguration comes during Jesus' preaching and healing ministry after he has first told the disciples that he is going to have to suffer and die. They cannot accept any such idea. Things are going along too well for them to imagine that it could all end in tragic failure. And they loved Jesus and were loyal to him, and they didn't even want to think about his being taken from them. The audience for the Transfiguration is the inner circle of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. When they get to the top of the mountain with Jesus, his appearance changes. His face and his clothing look different, and he is shining. Two prominent characters in the Old Testament appear alongside Jesus: Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets. As St. Luke tells us, they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. The three of them talked about Jesus' death. Then a cloud appeared, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." So the Transfiguration of Christ is designed to give the disciples a deeper insight into just who they are dealing with. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God is underscored by the cloud, which is the sign of God's presence, by the glory, which is the visible light which shines from God's face, and by God's own testimony, "This is my Son." The Transfiguration also tells the disciples that they had better try to get used to what Jesus had told them about his suffering and death. If the law and the prophets agreed to it and God said, "Listen," that made things quite clear. Appearances had been to some degree deceiving. This was something more than just a witty, wonder-working rabbi carpenter. All of this helps us to remember that when God evaluates us, he doesn't look on our outward appearance, he looks at our hearts. He is not interested in the person we like to pretend to be. He is interested in who we really are. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Appearances can be deceiving. Actions speak louder than words. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.